Welcome to the Montreal Bias, a production of RabbitHabs.com. I'm Zach at our Toronto Bureau, the Rabbit Habs Toronto Bureau. And coming at, as always, from the Ottawa Bureau, Sean O'Neill. How are you, bud?
I'm good, buddy. Happy Super Bowl Eve.
Yes, Super Bowl Eve. Dark times in the wake of the Bowling Green Massacre, but we're gonna press on here on our podcast. Well, at least we got hockey to distract us from the insanity.
Yeah, there's that. There's that.
That's nice. And I like that we don't need to say anything that matters anymore. I'm just going to lie my way through this podcast.
Exactly. This is the Alternative Facts podcast.
Nothing but alternative facts all episode long. And as long as we believe them or believe them enough, that's fine.
Yeah, no one seems to give a shit about anything anymore.
Nothing matters anymore. That's what's fun. That's what's fun, guys. Nothing matters at all.
There's a... Once you accept that fact, a bizarre calm sort of washes over you.
I don't know if it's calm or just the futility of the world, man. We'll get with the positive space. Will be at the end of the show, folks. Stick around.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick it off with our best bit off the top that we've been. Who's ripping us off this week? And I gotta say, everybody's ripping us off now, Sean.
Yeah.
You know how many damn hockey podcasts there are now?
We were the first one.
We were the original hockey podcast, I'm pretty sure. You don't bother looking it up. Just trust us. The first and biggest hockey podcast. 1.5 million listeners every week. And yet, now there's just this sea of amateurs out there. I can't even keep up. There's a lot of good ones. Like I'm trying to like listen to all the good ones. But Dave Lozo alone is on 7, I think.
I know.
It's getting crazy out there. But so all that to say, thanks to everybody who's still listening to us, the original first ever hockey podcast.
Yeah, there's like you said, there's a lot of great stuff out there and seemingly not enough hours in the day. But
Well, I mean, you can't devote all your time in this current era. You can't devote all your time to listening to hockey podcasts because you'll miss the end of the world.
There is that,
you know.
But if this, you know, if this is what our listeners have chosen to as their soundtrack for the impending apocalypse, I'm fine with that.
I feel like our voices as the background to mushroom clouds. That's beautiful. That's what you want.
That's what I want.
I tell. Oh no! If you think I'm not, my final moments aren't going to be listening to myself talk about hockey. Oh, you admit. That's how I plan on going out. It's going to be brilliant. But another big event here that happened this week. Or last week, however you want to call it, the NHL's top 100 of all time. The list has been revealed.
Yes, a much much ballyhooed and highly anticipated top 100 list.
Yes, and so we're gonna talk a bit about that on this week's episode of the Montreal Bias. But before we get into that, another one of our bits that people come to, the reason they're, despite this large menu of hockey podcast opportunity out there, the people keep coming back to us for 76v6. Who's winning the Weber v. Subban race this week? And so here's what we pretty much got so far. They were both in the All-Star game.
Yep.
Shea Weber continues to have the hardest shot in the NHL. No shock there. PK Subban continues to be the most character-filled player in the NHL. He was doing some great announcing, specifically on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's getting tougher. This week's a tough one to say.
Yeah, especially because it doesn't seem I'd have to go start digging through the box scores, but off the top of my head, neither of them have really been super lighting it up, really, lately, to be honest.
No, haven't seen much from Subban.
At least in terms of the stat sheets, you know.
Yeah. No, Subban's having a much more pedestrian season than I expected him to. The injury obviously played into that, but I think if you listen to this podcast back before the season, both of us saw a real Norris chance for him, and he's had a much more average season than I expected.
Yeah, unless he just goes on an absolute tear, that's not going to happen. And yeah, it just seemed like with the, you know, the talent that they have there and a coach who would finally sort of cut him loose, and you know, they like to play a relatively up-tempo system there. I thought he was going to score 20 or something, and it doesn't quite look like that's going to happen. But yeah, like you said, the injury kind of mucked everything up a little bit as well. But he's been, I wouldn't say disappointing, but he hasn't had that Norris Trophy season we thought he would. And frankly, the Wild, you know, a team I thought might win the West, they've kind of been two steps forward, one step back all season long.
You mean the Predators? You just called your favorite team by the wrong name.
Well, that's okay. It's a learning process. It's a learning
process. Save that for the mid-podcast interview. And now, also news from your favorite team, the Wild/Predators, which whenever you get that figured out. Now they've gone and released, or at least put Mike Ribeiro on waivers. You okay with that?
I'm very okay with that, actually. Yeah.
Garbage player. He was like one of the parts that still made it a bit of a barrier to enjoying the Nashville Predators.
Yeah. I haven't heard any chatter of Montreal picking him up.
Well, I've heard chatter, but only by idiots, not by people with not real chatter.
Yeah, I think he burned a lot of I don't think there's any, you know, I think the institutional memory is long enough that there's no real desire to have him back in the building at any point.
And he's not really good enough anymore. Like, he's not that valuable at this point. Nashville didn't put him on waivers because he's a shitty person. They put him on waivers because he's a shitty player now, too.
Yeah. Which, that came, I mean, he did have some really nice seasons, but I mean, he's getting up there, weirdly.
Yeah, he's not, he's no spring chicken or spring rat, as he probably more apt for that guy. Looks like.
I mean, yeah, the guy was getting in fights with, you know, with Koivu, so he's been around for a while.
Yeah. Which side did you fall? Do you feel Mike Ribeiro had the higher moral ground or Saku Koivu in that one? I don't recall how we framed that back in the day. Oh, Mike Ribeiro, leader of men. Yeah, never missed him. Never liked him on the team.
Yeah, it was, you know, Montreal kid playing for the Habs. Obviously, tons of talent. Like, it should have worked out, but really didn't. And the fans never warmed him the way they normally do to hometown guys.
All right, now time for our ad. Still, at least in my... I haven't got any denim. You got any denim?
In general?
No. Sent by the good people at Wrangler. In general, oh, I know no, you, you, no. You're big on the jeans.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Always had good jeans?
No, still waiting on that Amazon package.
Still nothing here either. But nonetheless, we will press on because guess who looks real comfortable in the blue paint once more. Carey Price returning to his old self.
Which we all kind of knew was going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think some people were terrified that he suddenly had lost the magic. But come on.
I mean, you don't... Everyone's going to have rough stretches, but you don't go from being the best goalie in the world to pedestrian.
No.
Within the span of a month and you know, not recapture the magic. It was just a rough stretch. And he might... Who knows? He might have another one before the season's over. You know, if you're a Habs fan, you're hoping it's not in May or June, but he's righted the ship at least for now. And it's not like he has a long history of going into long funks.
No. And statistically, he's never been as good in December, January, for whatever reason, as his big months are October, November, and February, March. And then usually he gets injured in April at an inopportune moment. Or May, depending on how deep they've gone.
Yeah, it depends when we run into the Rangers.
Yeah. Good news, though, he is looking real comfortable again. And so, once again, you can assume playing in part some role in that is just his general comfort at home, wearing some advanced comfort Wrangler jeans. Once again, Wrangler, not an official podcast sponsor, but they can if they want. Anytime, guys. We're just waiting, and we're real comfortable waiting here. No reactions from them at all yet this week either, so we'll see. It's getting tough. We may have to switch a denim for supplier.
Is it just me, or is Carey a bit feistier than he used to be?
He's a little feisty this year. There's some feist there.
What's that?
So there is definitely some feist there.
Got a little Ronnie Hextall going on.
Yeah, it's been enjoyable. It may just be the fact that, A, he was struggling a bit for those, I don't know, what was it, a six-week span maximum? Or B, you know, he missed all of last year and saw his team fall apart without the leadership of him. So maybe he thought, nah, I gotta be a little angrier this year. Get these guys in order.
Yeah, and I mean, he has, you know, he does have an injury history, and I don't know if players take liberties with him more than any other goalie, but, you know, players aren't shy to crash the crease with him or sort of get up in his business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just seems like he's responding to that a little bit more than he would have in the past.
Yeah, I don't find he's, like, playing any less cool and collected than he has, but there's definitely more attitude from him.
Yeah, there's more just, you know, might get a stick to the to the calf if you're not careful.
That being said, though, he's always been pretty he's been sneaky about that historically. I mean, remember the old helmet flip and flicks like that? Maybe we're just paying more attention.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, and no guy's ever got grumpier in his old age either. That seems an unlikely trail. Speaking of grumpy old men, the NHL 100. What'd you think?
I mean, things were kind of leaking before it came out. So, you know, the biggest one being that we knew there were only six active players, which seemed a little low to me. And, you know, you look at some of the, I mean, you look at some of the names that are on the list, and there's frankly a few guys playing now that I thought should have been on there. All in all, it's what you would expect, and you'd expect it to be a good list. You know, you had, they'd done these types of things in the past, and, you know, smart people for the most part voted on it, and, you know,
it's
kinda,
a good list.
What's that?
It's a good list. It's the best list.
Yeah, it's a good list. And I mean, it's, you know, 75 of those names are pretty much no-brainers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an easy list through 75 for sure.
And then you can sort of debate numbers 76 through 125.
Yeah.
It's a great list. And, you know, I remember when they did this back in whatever it was, 96 or 97 or 98 or something. And I'm sure we'll do it again in 15 years. But it's been fun. And it's been especially fun. This is the first time they've done it with, you know, Twitter and really podcasts and blogs and stuff. So there's been, I think, more excitement surrounding it and more scrutiny of the list. And, you know, everyone's thrown out their own names in their own list, and it's, you know, those types of things are fun. So
if you want to add some real controversy, and we'll get into what we argued with anyway, because why not? That's what we're here for. But imagine they'd rank them instead of just a splash 100.
I think it would have been a lot more interesting for everyone if it was ranked, but you can understand why they wouldn't want to do that, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just
you don't want to introduce, you know, Mario Lemieux as the fourth best player of all time for the rest of his life, like, because that's kind of an insult in a weird way.
Yeah, and the NBA did do the ranking, I think, when they did their 50th anniversary. I think they went in order.
But yeah, that would have been fun. But you know, this is the league that got rid of the draft at the All-Star game because it was, you know, someone's feelings might get hurt. So
God,
I'm not shocked they didn't go with the rankings on this.
And it did hurt people's feelings. That was the most pathetic part.
Yeah.
Thin skin motherfuckers. So let's get into what we had issue with on the list. I thought the glaring, and I'm not alone, this isn't very original, but I thought the glaring omissions were Jerome Iginla, certainly, Joe Thornton, and Evgeny Malkin. And I thought unnecessarily there were three modern Blackhawks. Sure, they're good, but they're not fucking fantastic to that degree. Kane, we've talked about. Keith, no. Taves, you can talk me in or out of him.
I think Taves is a no-brainer. I know some people don't, but, you know, I mean, listen, I know we don't just count rings. The team's won three cups. They're the closest thing we find to see the NHL right now, and he's by far the most integral part of that. They've got some nice pieces, but you ask anyone in the organization, you know, Keith, Kane, Taves, you can only keep one. It's going to be Taves every time.
Andrew Shaw, though, probably most instrumental. Where's he?
Kane, I didn't like. Keith, I really didn't like. I do not. I know he's won two Norrises, but I can't think of Duncan Keith as one of the top 100 players of all time.
No, wouldn't even. No. On even a list of, like, I'd have to go pretty deep before I'd be sticking him on there, I feel.
And frankly, if you're going to put a defenseman on, I'd put Carlson on there before him.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd put Weber on there before him. I would put Doughty on there before him.
Was Zdeno on the list?
No, I'd put Zdeno on there before
him. Zdeno before Keith, for sure.
And PK's probably a little too young, but give it another 2 or 3 years, and I think PK's probably ahead of him, too.
If you're getting, it's, for me, it was in Keith, let's even forget about that, I think way too. Kane, and I talked about this on our last podcast. Like, I didn't get it then for multiple reasons. I really don't get it now. Yeah, he just won the Hart, but, like, this is recency bias to a ridiculous degree. To leave off Jerome Iginla. Remember Jerome Iginla at his peak? Way better player than Kane is right now, I think.
Yeah, or at least did it for a lot longer. Like,
yeah,
Kane's, you know, Kane's obviously been around for a while, and he's been very good for a while, but the only year he was even really in the Hart Trophy discussion, never mind one, it was last year.
Yeah, he's not even in it this year.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be in that. And, like, Carey Price not on the list. I'm fine with that. Absolutely, because Carey Price doesn't have the resume yet, but he's got at least equal, if not a more impressive resume almost than Kane.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they were pretty good about this, but to be perfectly honest, if Kane was from London, Ontario,
yeah,
and not Buffalo, he's not on the list.
So yeah, that's definitely a factor. You'd think the rest of his shitty self would be enough to get him canceled off that list, but no.
That's fair.
Christ. Another one, Joe Nieuwendyk? I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to throw a fit over Joe Nieuwendyk being there, but that was weird to me.
I don't know, he had a real nice career.
Yeah, I guess so. Matt Sundin shouldn't have been there.
Matt Sundin should not have been on the list. And again, if he had played in, if he'd played his career with the Blues and not the Maple Leafs, he's not on that list.
No, absolutely not. Like, Matt Sundin was the best player on the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's about it.
Was Matt Sundin ever considered one of the 10 best players in the league?
Yeah, there was a couple years he definitely was, I think.
I guess, but even then, was he considered one of the 5 best players in the league?
No, I don't think so. Whereas Jerome Iginla was probably considered the best player in the league for at least a couple seasons.
Yeah. That's, I know it's kind of an arbitrary thing, but that to me is the main test. If you were never, and it's kind of the test I would apply to the Hall of Fame as well, is that if you were never considered the best, amongst the 5, 6, 7 best at your position at any point in time, like, you don't belong on this list.
I think the pick that most upset me was Mark Recchi as one of the top 100. That was, you could almost see someone trying to make that argument.
I know. It would look nice next to his doctorate degree.
Is Chris Osgood not on this list either? Outrageous.
I'm going through it now. I'm like, yeah, players, I haven't understood, I tried to read out my history and like we all do, and I think I know about players from the 60s and 70s and stuff, but we weren't there, so it's hard to judge them. But, players from our childhood and beyond, you've got Stevie Y, who's a no-brainer. Sundin, we've already talked about. Scott Stevens, I'm happy he was on this.
Yeah, he could have been left off, but I think he deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, he's closer to, he's closer to 100 than 75. He's not one of those no-brainers, but he was a great player. Brendan Shanahan, yeah. Solani.
Timu, yeah.
Timu's a no-brainer. Shanahan, too, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Sakic, Roy, Robitaille.
Yeah, that's fine.
Pronger, obviously.
Obviously.
Pronger, I think, is really one of the more underrated players of our lifetime.
He and Chara seem very similar to me.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's ridiculous that Chara's not on that list.
Yeah, I mean, Boston was the best team on a year-in, year-out basis in the Eastern Conference for, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, and he was instrumental in that cup.
Yeah, and they had a lot of nice pieces, but he was the main reason.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And everything they did with that system, revolved around the fact that he was just so big and so unique and could play so many minutes, and they filtered everything through him.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned, Tim Thomas was a career journeyman who won back-to-back dozens, and I think a large part of that was due to Zdeno Chara.
I would agree with that, yep.
Yeah, Nieuwendyk, Oates, Niedermeyer, one of my favorites.
Gotta love Mike, it.
No, I know some people had a problem with that. I don't.
With who?
Modano.
Yeah, no, that made sense. He's pretty much the highest scoring American of all time. You're going to put him on that list.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. He was a good player.
He was so fun to watch, too.
Yeah, no, he's fine. Him and Shanahan, I felt, were kind of similar.
Yeah. Lindros, Lemieux, Lindstrom. So there's, only 6 active players, but a ton of players from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
No, and I mean, active does make it hard. Like, Jagr counts as an active player because he's still in the league somehow. But, like, it is hard for the reasons that I would certainly leave Kane still off this list, and that I can see an argument even be made for Evgeny Malkin still not being on this list at this point. Or, the obvious reason to keep a guy like Carey Price off the list or P.K. Subban off the list is that we haven't seen the entirety of their resume yet, and we're not going to go ahead and just assume they're going to have the rest of their careers play out one way, unless, I guess, you're Patrick Kane.
Yeah. Who else we got here? We got Brian Leetch would not have made my list.
No, I don't. Doesn't feel like he should have.
Mike Gardner, another guy.
Questionable. Yeah.
I know his numbers are insane, and when you look at them in the sum total, but you know, who's more a guy who consistently put up good numbers in an era when it was pretty easy to put up good numbers as opposed to a guy who was dominant.
Yeah.
Even Ron Francis, you can maybe, Francis belongs on the list, but he's kind of got a bit of that going on too.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's the more talented Mark Recchi.
Yeah, that's fair.
Go ahead.
That surprise you?
Datsyuk, a little bit, but only, like, I'm not upset about Datsyuk. I do wonder if he was really actually one of the best 100 players. He was never necessarily, again, was he ever the best, five best players in the league?
I would say so.
Was he?
He was so good defensively. He was. I'm a little biased because he was so fun to watch.
And yeah, the Datsyukian, but you got to give something to that. The fact that we call something Datsyukian. Sure, yeah. You know what? I've talked myself in. Yeah, he can be there.
Montreal Canadiens on the list. You ready?
Yes. Is it less than 30? Because I'm outraged.
It's pushing it. We got what? Holy balls. Beliveau?
I guess so.
Toe Blake?
Obviously. I love Toe.
Chelios, who, you know, if this was like baseball and you had to go in wearing a hat, he'd be wearing a Blackhawk sweater and not a Habs sweater, unfortunately.
But, definitely.
I mean, he won a Norris in Montreal, so it counts.
Counts.
Cournoyer, Dryden, Bill Durham.
Gotta love Bill Durham.
Tony Esposito's on the list, but I mean, he never really spent much time in Montreal. Bob Gainey, happy to see him on there.
Yeah, some people didn't like that.
I mean, we're talking about the, by all accounts, the greatest defensive forward of all time.
Exactly. I'm fine.
Boom Boom, Doug Harvey, Elmer Luck, Guy Lafleur, obviously, Jacques Lemaire. I know some people didn't love that. I could see you making an argument that he doesn't really belong on there.
I mean, when you've got enough Habs on there, which they do, does Lemaire need to be there?
Yeah.
Plus, I don't like him.
Mahovlić, Dickie Moore, the Richard brothers, obviously, Larry Robinson, Patrick Roy, Jacques Plante, Howie Morenz.
Jesus Christ.
Keep going. Serge Savard, George Vezina, and Denis Savard again. Only kind of spent two seasons there or whatever it was.
George Vezina, no way. No way. Very upset about this. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's 24, and that's including, again, the guys who just kind of had a cup of coffee with the team.
24.
Fully a quarter of the list.
Sounds about right. I was upset that there were 10 Blackhawks. I thought that was too many, but only because of the three current. And also, the Blackhawks were real bad for a long time. How'd they get 10?
Yeah.
We've got as many players as cups. That's perfect. It's all good.
It's pretty good, actually.
24 is the right amount from the Canadiens through the first century of the league.
Yeah, get used to it.
I'm going to win it this year. It's coming. It's coming.
I can't think of any Habs that aren't on the list who deserve to be, unless you want to go real old school and say that, you know, Newsy Lalonde was one of the 100 best or one of those type of guys.
I've been outside the NHL office here in Toronto protesting for Newsy for 2 weeks now. Seems to be getting lost in the mix. My Newsy signs. There's three of us. We call ourselves the Newsy Boys. We put on the flat caps, stand out there in short shorts. No Newsy, no justice. You know what? Living in Toronto, I don't go protest outside the NHL office enough for things. Maybe I should make that a part of my regular.
Wasted opportunity.
It is. It is. And think of the content.
Yeah, fair.
All right. Anything else on the 100, or you feel like we've aired our grievances and we're okay with it at this point?
I guess the only other question is when they, you know, we talk about how it's hard to judge current players, but when they do this again in 25 years, who do you think is on it?
Gonna go ahead and think Carey Price is gonna get himself on there.
Yeah.
I would like to think, but since he can't even get on it in his own era, likely won't happen next time is Joe Thornton, but maybe history will appreciate what Thornton does better than the present.
That to me was even, that was the biggest one to me.
He's an amazing player. It's ridiculous. One of the arguments that I kind of been hearing, or one of the arguments that's worth having when you do one of these lists, is like, how do you compare players of different eras too?
Sure. Like, and one argument that I really hate is, you know, that players are bigger and stronger and faster now, so it should be predominantly tilted towards the modern era.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
It's true, but that's not what we're arguing.
It's really stupid.
Like, I know Dale Weiss would score 50 goals if you put him in a time machine and send him back to 1950, but...
Or just send him to the Netherlands.
That's not the issue. That's not the discussion we're having. Like, that's always kind of driven me crazy.
Yeah, I hate that discussion. Like, oh, you put Alex Ovechkin in 1940s, he would score like 10 goals. Yeah, obviously. But, like, that was a different era. He might also get syphilis.
He would definitely get syphilis.
For sure. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was completely, what the hell are you talking about? It's ridiculous. You have to compare players of their era against how good they were against guys of their time.
Yeah, the question is how dominant they were compared to their peers. And, yeah, Ovechkin would score 85 goals, but you know what? You take Gordie Howe and you give him modern training and modern medicine and, you know, airplanes instead of fucking, you know, taking the train from game to game, and he's going to score 50 in the modern era, too.
And I mean, the other thing is these guys were playing against five other teams. Like, the first-line talent through fourth-line talent was probably more difficult than when it's dispersed across 30 teams.
Possibly, yeah.
So I'm just like, you can't compare eras. So to say somebody from this era is better because obviously guys are bigger, stronger, faster, healthier. They work out all summer. They don't have real jobs the rest of the time. They're not suffering from syphilis. You know, all of these factors. Well, I mean, some suffer, though. They live with it these days. That's what's nice. Can get the meds.
Eradicated syphilis in society. Like, you don't hear about it as much as you used to.
Maybe people just are quiet about it. Maybe that's the next bell. Let's talk. We got to get the syphilis discussion going. It's okay, people. How did we get on? That's clearly my fault. I derailed us on this. I don't know. We'll have to. Please add us, people. Is syphilis still out there? We need to know. Ask hard-hitting questions. So where were we going with all this? Oh, yeah. Just said you can't cross-compare eras. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, and we didn't finish the current. I took us off the fact that who else is going to be there in 25 years of the current? Connor McDavid, I think, obviously.
Yeah.
Not Auston Matthews. He sucks.
You know, I think Carlson and Subban will be on the list.
Carlson absolutely should be.
Yeah, and Doughty, too, if I had to take a guess.
Ooh, Doughty. Will he still be controversial as he is now?
If Stamkos can stay healthy, you think he'd muscle his way on there?
He's really struggling to stay healthy, though.
But yeah, it's you're starting to get the sense that this is going to be kind of his career, eh? Like,
yeah.
Which sucks because he's a hell of a player.
For sure, Lundqvist won't get on it. I don't think. What about Roberto Luongo?
I mean, if he didn't make this list, he's not going to make any future lists.
No, that's true. Should he have made this list, though? Should he have been more considered? Do we underrate Robbie Luongo?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
We definitely do. Is he top 100? I'd have to look at the other goalies.
Yeah.
On the list, which I can do. Let's see. Goalies on the list. Johnny Bauer, Turk Broda, Marty, Ken Dryden, Bill Durham, Tony Esposito, Dominic Hasek, Glenn Hall, Grant Fuhr. I think Luongo's better than Fuhr.
Yes.
Bernie Perrin. I think Long was better than him, too. Jacques Flan, Patrick Roy, George Vezina, Billy Smith, Terry Sawchuk.
So there's a few in there.
Because there's Belfour's not on the list, eh?
That's true. Were Leafs fans upset that Joseph wasn't on the list?
Oh, probably.
You guys shouldn't have even had Matt Sundin. Calm down over there. Yeah, because there has to be a goalie right now in the NHL who will be among the top 100 goalies of all time when all's said and done. And there wasn't one.
Yeah, I mean, you've got that, you know, obviously the holy trinity from our childhood of Brodeur, Hasek, and Lacroix.
Yeah.
But no one since.
So Luongo, who's been the best goalie since? Luongo, Thomas, but only for two seasons. And then Price and Lundqvist, right?
Yeah, I would say Lundqvist would... You let me vote for one of those guys, I'd put Lundqvist a notch above Luongo.
Yes, I would too. It's weird though, Lundqvist hasn't won anything and nobody hangs anything on him.
No, I know.
It's
we're very selective in how we
I mean, all Luongo did was win a gold medal and get to game six and was, I mean, there was a few years there where we all seem to forget now where it was absolutely undeniable that Luongo was the best goalie in the league.
I know. And they win that game seven and his legacy is completely different.
Yeah. Oh, poor Bobby Lou. Yeah, but he's
done all right for himself.
Oh,
but yeah.
He's fine. He's fine. I'm not too worried about him. Just think he got an unfair shake over the narrative of his career.
Yeah, no, he did. Absolutely.
So I guess Price has got the best odds to play himself onto it of the current goalies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say so.
And I mean, it's not ridiculous. All Price would have to do is keep doing what he's doing now for a few more years, and it's a completely fair argument.
Yeah, he does this for another even two or three years, and then I think he's on there.
I mean, if he was Patrick Kane, he'd be on there right now, but...
Yep.
I mean, what, they did essentially the similar thing. It was one huge season where they were... And I think Price... No, don't think I know for a fact. Price was more valuable in his MVP season than Kane was in his.
Yeah.
Stupid. I'm upset. The Kane thing really pissed me off. I thought it was so stupid for so many reasons.
Yeah.
For the jerking off of the Blackhawks, which the NHL is obsessed with, and for the fact that, you know, if Kane is obviously there as a marketing move more than anything else, and for all the obvious reasons, that seems pretty gross in itself, too. Like, this is, we're going to put the league spotlight on him? It's when it's not necessary? Like, if it's Alex Ovechkin, yeah, you've got no choice because he's a great player. Luckily, Alex Ovechkin's also a really entertaining character. But, like, Kane's not so great that we can't help it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Eh, well, all right. That's enough on the 100.
Sure.
Let's get to the mid-podcast interview. I forget where we're at here.
Me too. Go for it.
I'll ask you questions?
Sure.
You're good. I like this. All right. Sean, this has been a big one. Been much talked about. The top 100, how did you guys really prepare for it? How did you feel you had to ready yourself to get into this list?
Well, you know, a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement for this one. The fans are into it. We're into it. But, you know, you don't want to get too excited. I think I was a little amped early on. I forgot the name of my favorite team, which is never a good thing. But I think we rebounded nicely talking about Roberto Luongo.
Yeah, the Luongo stuff in the end, I think you made some really good points. But obviously lists are a big part of the podcaster diet. When you see a big one like this, how important is it for you to get it right?
Oh, it's big. It's really big, you know. It's why they pay us the big bucks. So you just put your head down and you get the job done.
All right, thanks. Good luck out there in the second half. That was good. Always good.
Oh, yeah.
Felt good about that. All right, Montreal Canadiens will face the Edmonton Oilers on Sunday afternoon, Super Bowl Sunday afternoon. First off, before I make
their annual Super Bowl game,
how do you feel about that game?
I kind of like it, actually.
Me too.
As much as I love football, I fucking hate the Super Bowl pregame shows.
I think I like the pregame show every year. I convince myself I'm excited to watch it all day.
Every single year, I'm like, it can't be that bad. And then I tune in, and it's
you want to kill yourself,
Jimmy Fallon. Realize and no one's even mentioning the game.
Yeah. We get some hilarious Rob Riggle.
God. Frankly, I'd rather watch hockey and then just, you know, ease into the game from there.
No, I hate afternoon games in nearly every other situation, but I don't mind the afternoon games on Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other team, like, it's literally every year that Montreal does this.
Yep. I enjoy it.
And I don't think that's a coincidence. I can't imagine that it is.
No, that would be, that's far too many for a coincidence at this point.
But I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know if they do it with any other teams or not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It's kind of this weird thing. Like, you know, we only know about it because we watch the team every year on a game-by-game basis. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's not like it's this great tradition that's celebrated amongst every fan base, but it's nice. It's kind of this weird little quirk.
And I say that, I don't know that I, once again, I mentioned this on the recency bias the other day and did no homework since, so good job me, but I feel like they lose a lot on this game, but I still don't mind it.
Fair enough.
They may win, it may be like 500, they may even win more often than not, and I just remember losing, I don't know. But like you say, it breaks up the day, because I'm going to be in front of the TV, like that's a given. So if I don't have to be watching NFL pregame and learning about, you know, how the troops once again managed to save this in NFL season. I'll take a hockey game distraction for a couple hours. It's nice.
Yeah.
Here's another bit I want to throw your way. Oh, no. I was doing a segue and then got distracted by myself, as I tend to do. They're taking on Edmonton in this game. McDavid. So it brings us to our bit. Greatest skater in the world this week, Crosby or McDavid?
I'm going to try and – I'm like a hype man who hypes up a nice. You know, before a big fight.
Yeah, no,
I'm gonna, we got McDavid tomorrow, so I'm going to say McDavid.
Wow, that just – I see why you called yourself a hype man. That was electric. I'm just going to go, especially for the people driving, I'm just going to give them a minute here just to kind of pull over and recollect themselves after you probably got everyone just so riled up with that. Way to go.
Yeah. If you weren't going to tune in before, you're going to tune in now.
Regular Flavor Flav. Call him Flavor Flav due to the whiteness. So you're going McDavid. I got to go Crosby. I think Crosby's been on point these last couple weeks, more so than McD. But man, is he fast. He did prove that he can fly in that All-Star game. So you know what? I'll take your hype, man. I'll buy into the massive hype you just built up. I can't help but be swept into it. McDavid at this point. So we've got the best skater in the world coming in to face the Canadiens on Sunday. There you go.
I was shocked that he didn't. I mean, you know, the way they were talking about it, you would have thought that Larkin's speed record was Cal Ripken's consecutive games played record that everyone could rattle off the top of their head, but
yeah.
I was shocked McDavid wasn't faster than Larkin.
Yeah. What about Paul Byron? Would he be able to beat McDavid?
Nobody's fucking fast.
I say we have him challenge before tomorrow's game. Let's do it.
First intermission.
Yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's big spectacle day. Are we allowed to say Super Bowl? Shit. We might get sued. That's okay. We've been trying to get sued on this podcast for a while.
Yeah. Lawsuits bring publicity.
Hey, NFL, we're saying Super Bowl. Come at us. No, but I would like to see – I just want to see how close Byron is. That's why I'd like to see the NHL do what the NBA does with its All-Star Game festivities and the challenge. Like, you don't need to be in the All-Star Game to be brought in for the rest of the stuff. Why not?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's see Paul Byron skate against McDavid. Let's see somebody else who I've never heard of, but it turns out is hella fast in, like, Carolina or something, get in this. Give some other names a chance to kind of shine as well. Show off all the talents in the league. Of course, the NHL won't because they're idiots, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's some players, I think, who are as fast from point A to point B as McDavid is. Maybe not many, but there may be a handful. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone as fast with the puck on his stick as McDavid.
It's crazy. His ability to, like, he doesn't blow by, like, Merrill Lemieux used to blow by guys by undressing them. McDavid just blows by just blowing by them.
Yeah.
Like, the puck kind of stays in one spot. He just is like, later.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Bure is the only one I can think of who was close.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's so fucking fast, and he is so fun to watch.
Bring them all in. Let's see who's truly the fastest in the NHL.
I do wish they could race it out roller derby style.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe just let's bring roller derby in. That could be an all-star. Let's 1 year, no hockey. We're going to do ice version of roller derby for a year. Mix it up.
Yeah, until Drew Doughty blows his knee out and misses the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It doesn't really affect me. So it was the second year of the 3-on-3 tournament. Definitely more entertaining than the 5-on-5. No doubt about that. So I'm not sick of that yet. They can do that. They can run that out there a couple more years for me.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm sure we'll get sick of it at some point, and then they can do something else. It's an All-Star game.
That 5-on-5 is terrible.
What's that?
That 5, like, I'll watch the 3-on-3. I can't watch that 5-on-5 stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's an absolute joke. So, all right, we're going. We voted McDavid. Mainly for his speed. A little disappointed, though, that he didn't beat him. And that's pretty much wrapping it up. Do you have any controversial opinions for us?
Controversial opinions? No, I'm coming up empty. Do you have anything?
I feel like the world's filled with controversial opinions right now. We don't really need to be contributing any further.
The bar has been raised so high for what is controversial now that I'm a little scared of this segment, frankly.
I know. How about this? The victims of Bowling Green had it coming. They were asking for it, okay? I'm just here to say that. Fuck the Bowling Green victims. Highly controversial. And before we get out of here, finally, the positive space. I don't have my meds to get into it properly right now, but leave us with something to feel good about, Sean.
I think we already mentioned it, which is that Carey Price's brief quasi-struggle seems to be in the rearview mirror. Now, the team's not playing great. They're kind of treading water for the past...
Yeah, it's been a little treading.
They've been treading water for the past little bit, but as we've said basically every episode this season, you know, as goes Carey Price, so goes the team, and he seems to be back on track, so... Is he the Vezina front runner right now?
I don't know. I was kind of wondering who the hell the Vezina front runner is right now. Usually we kind of have an idea. We especially used to have an idea when we would do the 12 pack because we pretty much asked who is a front runner for some different award every week. So we had a better finger on the pulse back when we did that. I don't. Who else are we looking at here? Really?
I think it's still him and Holtby, right?
Holtby, like, I guess
he was running away with it early on in the season, and then as we discussed, he's slowed down a little bit, but I can't think. I mean, Dubnyk, maybe?
Yeah, Dubnyk, I was just about to say. I'm just looking at the overall stats right now. Dubnyk definitely seen, and Bobrovsky.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's probably a four-person race right now. And
yeah,
then,
it's Bobrovsky, Dubnyk, Holtby, Price, I guess.
Yeah.
Which and someone will sounds get, about right.
And someone will get out of the last 2 months and probably snatch it.
It's not Jake Allen.
No, it's not.
It's change up in St. Louis. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think their fate is to go down as a very good team that can never quite get over the hump.
Sounds about right.
Seems like that window's closing. Eh?
It does, but on the other hand, I mean, we've seen this. You know, I think we talked about at length in previous years before Pittsburgh won their second Stanley Cup last season about how Pittsburgh is destined to be remembered as a team that, you know, just didn't quite ever pull it off. I mean, they did get one, but it seemed like, you know, with Malkin and Crosby, they'd come up a little short, but now they got two cups. Maybe it's you switch up the coaching staff, and I wouldn't shock me beyond belief if the Blues wound up winning the cup this year.
No, and especially now, you could say they were always deep, but the one thing they were always lacking was like a true super duper star.
And Tarasenko is that. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, here's one. Here's what I will leave people with. It's a new narrative, so you can think on this and bring it up at your Super Bowl party. And when I say new narrative, it's not because I believe it necessarily, but it's fun to put out there. Pay attention for this. The Canadians are better when Alex Galchenyuk's not in the lineup.
Oh
yeah. They don't try as hard when Chucky's there. Somebody's going to have that hot take by Sunday. I promise you that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Be on alert for that. Be vigilant, people. All right. On that note, we're out of here. You're at the O'Neill Factor on the Twitter.
Yeah.
We had a good discussion about... we were talking about Shea Weber and... how P.K. Subban rubbing off on the Nashville Predators the other day on Twitter, now that the first line of the Preds all think they're scoring so well because they're so handsome. That sounds like a quote of P.K. Subban right there.
Yeah, buddy.
That's why they're out of the playoffs. Meanwhile, Man Mountain has never looked in a mirror once.
That might be true.
That could very well be true. I'm at Zach Drops Tweets. You can find the Twitter account for this podcast and the Recency Bias at the Montreal Bias. And, of course, Rabid Habs. For rabbithabs.com Twitter feed. I'm sure there'll be a whole bunch of good stuff coming up on Rabid Habs this week, including, as always, the recap from AJ. Myself, I bring you the recency bias as frequently as I can. It looks like we shouldn't miss too many games anymore now that Ian is able to step in and replace me. And probably people enjoy it more when he does so. Thanks, as always, for listening. Subscribe if you aren't on iTunes. Rate us. Leave a comment. It really does help, even though none of you ever do that. So thanks. I'll give you all this free content. All you got to do is hit some stars. But fine. It's fine. I don't care.
The first ever hockey podcast. You think you...
The original hockey podcast.
Just the ring once in a while, yeah.
As the quote on our Twitter feed says, Maurice Rocket Richard called it his favorite podcast of all time.
You got a quick Super Bowl prediction before we go?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm taking it. I'm taking the Falcons.
Really?
Falcons by 3.
Interesting. I'm going to go Pats 34, Falcons 21.
I got 30-27 Falcons.
There we go.
Who do you want to win? Do you care?
I've always kind of, I know this puts me in the very, 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 very tiny minority. I've always kind of had a soft spot for the Patriots.
I generally did until this year. But, yeah, and I still do, thanks to just wanting to see Goodell have to hand the trophy to Brady.
Fair enough. The whole pro-Trump
makes it hard.
The Patriots are taking is kind of not, I'm not loving it.
No, it makes it a little harder to cheer for them.
Yeah, but I have, you know, I think if they're just one of those, kind of like the Red Wings were, that you can't help but be impressed by them, and then kind of just as an agnostic football fan, like you can't, it's just amazing to watch a team do what they've been able to do. So I would like to see, I'd like to see Brady get one more, despite the fact that I loathe his politics.
I mean, I don't think he has politics. In his defense, I don't know if that's the right word there, but like, I don't think he thinks about, he's never thought about a politics for 5 seconds in his life.
Yeah. He just put that hat there because he knew him and didn't.
Yeah, he's like, I met him and he's a nice guy to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never thought about anything that's not football.
Yeah. Fair.
All right. That'll do it. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy the Habs Sunday afternoon game. Enjoy McDavid. Hopefully not too much of a McDavid performance. And we'll see you next. Later.
McDavid Price.
McDavid Price. The battle.
How's that? Good job. How's that for it, man?
You just said their names. Barely any enthusiasm.
Turn it over.
One more. Try it one more time.
McDavid Price. There you go.